How would you define endurance? You might be tempted to define endurance as finishing your meal even after you pigged out on chips and salsa. Or maybe endurance is never saying no to the waiter or waitress when they continue to offer you chips and salsa. Maybe endurance is making it through a TV show while your kid is upstairs screaming his head off, avoiding sleep. Maybe endurance is letting your kids just live another day after the first week of being a teacher and a parent at the same time as we've gone back to school. Maybe endurance is seeing how long you can go without doing laundry. This shirt isn't that dirty. Maybe it's testing the limits of your gas tank or your bladder, saying, I can make it one more exit. Maybe endurance is binging a show on Netflix in 24 hours. What is endurance to you? You see, there are times in life when all of us have to endure something. And we endure because we believe that the reward is worth the discomfort of that endurance. Because that's why we endure anything, right? Because we know that the prize will be worth the pain that we go through. You endure the RMV because having the new car is worth the pain of sitting and waiting and hoping that your number is called next. You endure Black Friday because the deals you get are worth the late night of no sleep and dealing with angry customers all around you. You endure this sermon because the reward of Sunday brunch after church is worth the pain. See, we endure when we believe the prize is worth the pain. In fact, as we continue in the book of Philippians, the letter to the church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul will make this principle abundantly clear. He makes it clear that endurance is worth it because the prize is worth the pain. And nobody knew this better than the Apostle Paul. He's writing this letter, as we talked about in week one, he's writing this letter to the Philippians while sitting in a Roman prison. And he's been giving us things to focus on and ways to find true, complete, total joy, no matter our circumstances. Chapter 1 was all about the joy found in community. Chapter 2 was about the joy found in humility. And chapter 3, as we will look at today, might seem strange, but is about the joy found in endurance. And I know what you're thinking. Endurance? Seriously? Endurance? That's where we're going? Endurance usually means pain. Endurance means being uncomfortable. Endurance means fighting for something. How in the world could endurance ever lead to joy if there's usually pain involved in endurance? I ran track in high school. I was a hurdler and a sprinter. And you know what every sprinter hates? You know what every sprinter hates more than anything? Endurance training. There were days when we'd show up to practice and coach would make us run with the distance runners. And those guys are crazy. They just run for miles and miles on end and they get enjoyment out of it. And we would complain the whole time. We would look for every excuse to get out of endurance training because we were used to our races being over in, 10 to 30 seconds depending on the race. But that endurance training, running with the distance runners, took time, it took effort, it took endurance. Extra mileage, extra running. We hated endurance training. And most people today hate the idea of enduring anything because we want what we want and we want it now. I mean, have you realized how increasingly on demand our culture has become? We've got things like Hulu and Netflix, Apple TV Plus, Amazon Prime, Peacock, HBO Now. All of these are streaming services that thrive because as a people, we don't want to wait around for the next show. We want it now, and we want options because if we get bored or we get dissatisfied with the show, well, we'll just quit it mid-episode and we'll go on to the next show because we want what we want and we want it now. We're an on-demand culture, and when things get tough or things get boring, well, we'll just start something new. In fact, you can even get church on demand now, and you can participate whenever and wherever you'd like. And as a result, it's actually made finding new churches even easier. And so when you get dissatisfied with one church, well, you can just go on to the next one and get church on demand. But understand me, following Jesus isn't on demand. Following Jesus takes endurance. And when we fail to endure in our relationship with God, we often miss out on the most intimate moments with God. because the times of endurance end up being the defining moments of our life. It's when we express our reliance on God and see His faithfulness come through in ways that we could never imagine. It's the times in life when endurance is required that we learn and we grow the most. And Paul, today in Philippians chapter 3, wants to encourage his audience to endure for the cause of Christ. Because on the other side of endurance is joy. Look at how he begins his encouragement for endurance in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on, there's endurance, to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on, there's the endurance again, to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Look, notice a couple things about Paul's words here. First of all, he admits that he has not yet achieved perfection. A few verses earlier, he conveyed to his friends that his desire was to know Christ on the deepest, most intimate level possible. That's in verses 7 through 11, if you want to check it out. And now as he begins verse 12, he's honest with his friends and he says, but I'm not there yet. I desire to be more like Christ, but I'm not there yet. See, right away, we see that following Jesus is a lifelong process. Following Jesus is a lifelong process. It's not something that happens overnight. But rather, it's daily decisions to be formed and grown into who Jesus wants us to be. And any lifestyle that we desire to live requires endurance. For example, say you want to be healthy and fit, and you want to experience your grandkids someday. That doesn't just happen, right? It takes the hard work of dieting and exercise and generally being healthy. It means going to doctor's appointments and saying no to the extra chips and salsa that the waiter keeps bringing when you're out for dinner. See, anything that is worth striving for in life is a process. It takes time, it takes commitment, and it takes realizing that we never actually arrive, but that we can always get better. So understand, if you find following Jesus to be difficult, and you feel like you can't ever quite get it right, and you feel like you're always messing up, just know that you're in good company. The Apostle Paul felt the same way. A guy who sacrificed so much for the gospel felt like he couldn't quite get it right. See, he knew it was a lifelong process that would take time, commitment, and endurance. And Paul knows that as much as he's done for Jesus and as much as he's grown for Jesus, there's more that he has to learn. He will not arrive until he's united with Jesus in eternity. And when Jesus makes all things new, that's when he arrives. That's when he endures to the end. That's when he finally finishes. Can we get theological for a moment? I call this getting down and nerdy. Let's go into the weeds here for a second. What we're talking about is two terms that you might not know, but have incredible significance on your life. The terms are justification and sanctification. Here's how they work. There's going to be a little graph to help us understand this. Imagine your life on the bottom line here. And when you accept Jesus as Lord and you believe and are baptized into his kingdom, you immediately become justified. In other words, you are positionally right with God. You are closer to the holiness of God. It means that because of Christ's sacrifice, you are declared innocent before him. You are justified simply for believing and accepting the free gift of God's grace. Once you make that decision, it means that if you were to die tomorrow, you would be okay. You would be with God for eternity because you have accepted his grace and you have been justified through the work of Christ before him. But most of us don't die right after we give our life to Christ. We actually have to live the rest of our life. And as any real Christian will tell you, your problems do not go away overnight. You still have temptation. You still have moments of weakness. You still have things that try and pull you down. But you constantly strive to be more like Jesus. And this is the line that goes diagonal towards the holiness of God. This is the process of sanctification. It's the process of becoming like Jesus every day. And as Paul told us, it's a lifelong process. There's going to be ups and downs, days where you do really good and days where you fail. But it's the process of being more like Jesus every day. And it's a lifelong process. And to continue along the path of sanctification requires endurance. It requires a mindset that takes you through the pain, through the discomfort, and through the disappointment until you get to the joy of being united with Jesus for eternity. I've heard it said before by many people that comfort is the enemy of growth. You can't grow if you only do what's comfortable. You can't move forward towards your goal if you aren't willing to take risk and get out of your comfort zone. And you know what's on the other side of growth? Joy. Joy is usually on the other side of growth. And growth only happens with endurance and being okay with pain and discomfort. And if we want to develop endurance spiritually, well, that takes a different mindset. It requires a change of mindset. See, notice the transition that Paul makes. He says, I have not reached perfection. I have not arrived. I still mess up. I still sin. I still have weaknesses. Yes, I still do all these things. But I don't dwell on the past. I don't look at my mistakes. I don't look at my sin. I don't dwell on the past. Instead, I look forward to the heavenly prize which God is calling us to. See, Paul has some mental toughness here. This is an intentional decision to press on. It's an intentional awareness that this life that we are currently living in is not all there is. It's a mindset that says on the other side of endurance is joy. And if you want the kind of joy where you can rejoice always, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, you can rejoice always no matter your circumstances, then we have to adopt a here and there mindset. A here and there mindset. It's the mindset that says, I live here, but I long to be there. I live here, but I long to live there. That's what Paul says, right? He says, I press on, right? There's the endurance. I live here. I try to get closer to Jesus while I'm here, but I do so. Why? Because of the heavenly prize that awaits me in Christ Jesus. You see where Paul's mind is. Paul's mind is on what lays ahead of him. He's thinking of the day when all of this struggle will be worth it. He's longing for the day when the pain and the suffering and the toil and the struggle is no more, and he is united with Jesus for eternity. It's here and there thinking. I'm here, but I want to be there. I live here now, so I'll make the most of it while I'm here, but I long to be there with Jesus. And that's why he presses on. That's why he endures, because the pain is worth the prize. Understand, endurance doesn't just happen willy-nilly. There's got to be a reason to endure. Carrie Newhoff says, what is on the other side of that difficulty or hardship? Very likely the breakthrough you've been waiting for. Most leaders are tempted to quit moments before their critical breakthrough. Look, we endure because of the prize. We endure because we long for and wait for the prize of Jesus, and we don't want to give up right before the prize comes. R.U. Darby owned a gold claim in California in the early 1900s. He worked and drilled for weeks upon weeks to finally discover a vein of gold in Colorado, only to have it run out after the first quick return of that gold. And after feeling like a failure for thinking he'd be the one to strike gold, Darby actually quit the mining business and sold his equipment to a junk man for just a few $100s. But don't ever underestimate a junk man. See, the junk man called in a mining engineer to look at the mine and do a little calculating, and what Darby forgot to calculate was the fractures in the earth. And this new mining engineer, his calculations showed that the vein of gold would be found just 3 feet from where the Darbys had stopped drilling. And sure enough, that's what happened. And overnight, the junk man became a millionaire, and Darby, who would later become a millionaire as well in the insurance industry by never quitting again, learned the lesson of a lifetime. Friends, if you want joy, you gotta endure. Because joy is found on the other side of endurance. Paul says that our joy is found in the upward call of Jesus, but while we live here, we have to endure until we get there. We need a here and there mindset. And on a side note, this applies to more than just your personal life, your personal, spiritual, emotional life. Here at Crosspoint, we say all the time that we want to help people find and follow Jesus. You know what that requires? That requires a here and there mindset. It's seeing someone here and helping them move there. That's what leadership is. It's seeing potential and a purpose that they don't even know is inside of them, and it's moving them from here to there. It's coming alongside them and guiding them from here to there. And if you've spent any time helping people go to the next level, take it to the next level, you know that you have to have endurance. Look, endurance is vital to growth. Both spiritually and in everyday life, we know that none of us are perfect, no matter how good we are, and that we must endure through that pain, endure through those mistakes, endure through that struggle for the prize of being with Jesus. We endure here because of the paradise that awaits us there. But what are we enduring against? Paul makes it pretty clear for us, Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth." Paul knows that if we aren't intentional, and if we don't set our minds on enduring and finishing well, that there will be all kinds of temptations and distractions that keep us from enduring. This is the mindset that will discourage endurance and then leave you joyless, even though these things might promise you everything. We should call this mindset the here and now mindset. We've got a here and there mindset, which is good, and the here and now mindset, which is not so good. It's a line of thinking that can only focus on your current and present situation. There's no mental toughness to see beyond this pain or this struggle that we're in. We can't possibly see light at the end of the tunnel because we're only focused on the here and now. Notice what Paul says. There are many whose conduct show they are enemies of the cross of Christ. That's a powerful phrase. Try and imagine what these people might look like in your mind. Maybe you're picturing a jihadist like Osama bin Laden. Maybe you're picturing an evil tyrant like Adolf Hitler. Maybe you have in your mind as an enemy of the cross of Christ a militant atheist like Richard Dawkins, a self-professed enemy of the cross of Christ. Maybe you have in your mind a politician. And I'm not going to put a picture up. I'll just let you picture that in your own mind. Look, our mind goes to such extremes, but now listen to how he describes such people and what they do. They're on a path to self-destruction. They're controlled by their appetite. That could be anything from your belly to sex to significance to fame to money. They brag about shameful things. Just turn on the TV or get on social media and this becomes clear. And their mind is set on earthly things that they're only focused on the here and now. They're not even thinking about what comes next. Listen, y'all, that's not just high-profile evil men and politicians. That's Americans. That describes friends and neighbors. That describes me. And if we don't learn how to endure against such temptations and change our mindset from here and now to here and there, we will never find joy that each of us so desperately long for. And I get it. I get it. 2020 has quite honestly been pretty crappy. We've lost jobs. We've lost loved ones. We've watched people fight for their lives. There's fires and hurricanes destroying cities and states. Racial tensions dominate our hearts and our minds. We're worried about the election, and a stinking pandemic shut down the entire economy for 5 months and keeps threatening to rear its ugly head. And in all of that, many of us have given in to the behavior and the temptations that we swore we'd never do again. Marriages are in jeopardy. Sobriety is threatened. And many of us have spent most of our extra time wasting away in front of the TV. And with every increasing negative thing that happens this year, the call to give up both spiritually and emotionally gets louder and louder. Can you feel it? Can you hear it? Are you worn out? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Do you feel like quitting on your marriage or on your job? Are you tired of saying no to that temptation that won't quit coming around? Are you tired of losing self-control? Are you ready to give up on Jesus because life wasn't supposed to be this way? Let me try and encourage you today. Scripture tells us that in the book of Hebrews that there are many who have come and gone before us. And you know what? They endured and they fought against the same or similar things. And they found that on the other side of endurance, there was joy. But we have to press on. We have to keep going. We have to be willing to do what nobody else will do. We have to get rid of the here and now mindset. We all want joy in life, but so few of us will actually put in the hard work of endurance to achieve that joy. We cave at the tiniest inconvenience. We give in to every temptation, and we chase after every cultural norm and fad without even thinking about what it's doing to our lives and our souls. We want everything in the here and now, and that mindset will lead to failure and self-destruction. Thomas Edison once told author Napoleon Hill how he reacted to failure when striving to perfect the incandescent electric lamp. And as history tells it, it took Edison hundreds of failed attempts before he triumphed. And the average person would, of course, quit after just a few attempts. But could it be, as Napoleon Hill suggested, that this is why there is only one Thomas Edison and so many average people? A minister by the name of Joshua Reich, he writes, if you watch great athletes, the ones who win the gold medal, who hold up the trophy or score the winning point, you often see someone who is willing to live through the pain, hardship, and difficulty. What you don't see is the workout at 4 a.m., the eating plan they put themselves through, the saying no to a night out with friends to get 10 hours of sleep. You don't see the 1,000 jump shots they took every single day, the miles they swam or the miles they ran or the weights they lifted beyond what even they thought they could do. When you see a couple in their 50s laughing together and genuinely enjoying each other's presence, what you don't see are the sleepless nights because they wouldn't go to bed angry, but instead worked through that argument. You don't see the tension of dealing with past hurt and past baggage and bringing it all to light so you can move forward. You don't see the hours spent holding hands and praying together about facing the road ahead. You don't see the hundreds and thousands of compliments they gave and little annoyances they decided to overlook instead of making a big deal about it. Look, we want joy, but we often don't want the endurance that leads to joy. Paul says, give up the here and now mindset. It's not only about what you're feeling now. It's not only about what you're thinking now or what you want now. If you want to find joy in life, he says, it's found by doing the hard work of endurance and being able to visualize what there looks like. It's adopting a here and there mindset that believes the prize is worth the pain. But what's the prize? Right, we've been talking about the prize a lot today. What is the prize? What does it mean to be with Jesus? Why is this so important worth enduring through life? Paul answers that question for us in verse 20. He says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. You want to know what the prize is? The prize is total renewal and redemption. The prize is new bodies. The prize is no more pain. The prize is no more evil. The prize is no more struggle, no more heartbreak. The prize is eternity. The prize is being united with the God who loved you so much that he gave up heaven and he came to earth and he died so that you could live. The prize is seeing that all the painful and evil around us is dissipating under the power and control of King Jesus. The prize is far greater than anything you or I could ever imagine. And if you can just keep your eyes on the prize, if you can endure and press on through the struggle, and press on through the pain and through the disappointment, you will find joy on the other side of endurance because your prize is Jesus. Never forget that your toil and your struggle and your endurance has purpose, and that you will prevail with Jesus in the end. The prize is worth the pain. Jim Stockdale was a POW, prisoner of war in Vietnam. He said that he was captured almost the moment he hit the ground, and that he immediately thought to himself, "This is going to be the defining experience of my life, and I'm going to make it." Stockdale was released as a prisoner of war on February 12, 1973. His shoulders had been wrenched from their sockets, his legs shattered by angry villagers and a torturer, and his back broken. But he had refused to give in. In a book by James Collins called Good to Great, Collins relates how Stockdale described his coping strategy during his 8 years in the Vietnamese POW camp. He says, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which, in retrospect, I would not trade," he said. And when Collins asked who didn't make it out, Stockdale replied, "Oh, that's easy. The optimists. They were the ones who said, 'We're going to be out by Christmas,' and Christmas would come and Christmas would go. Then they'd say, 'We're going to be out by Easter,' and Easter would come and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving, and then it would be Christmas again," and they ended up dying of a broken heart. Witnessing this philosophy of duality, Collins went on to describe it as the Stockdale paradox. Here's what he says. He says, "You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, something you cannot afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be." So, church, keep going. Press on. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't give up. Keep working. Keep serving. Keep loving. Keep following. You can do this. Don't lose sight of your prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Endure and confront the most brutal facts of your reality, because in the end, you will prevail with Jesus. You know, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting different results. That's a statement for a reason, because it's often true in many cases. But what if the same thing you are doing over and over and over again is the right thing? The thing God said to do? That's not the definition of insanity. That's the definition of endurance. How would I define endurance? Endurance is when you keep telling the truth even when you're ridiculed and rejected. Endurance is when you keep asking for forgiveness when you sin. Endurance is when you keep telling about Jesus even if they don't listen. Endurance is when you do what God said even when you look out of touch. Endurance is when you keep praying even when the answer doesn't come. Endurance is when you keep praising even when the pain is still there. Endurance is when you keep forgiving even when the offender hasn't repented yet. Endurance is when you keep believing even when the doubts come in. Endurance is when you keep the door open even when the prodigal won't come home. Endurance is when you keep loving, doing the right thing, staying in there, putting one foot in front of the other. That's endurance. And Jesus is worth your endurance. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, you endured so much. Scripture tells us that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. And Father, that joy was knowing that your creation would be reunited with you. Father, you endured the cross for the joy of knowing me, for knowing us. And Father, I pray that we would endure in the same way. I pray that we would endure and we would keep our eyes on you. We would keep our eyes and our minds on a here and there mindset that says, "I live here. I'll make the most of everything while I live here. I will endure through anything that comes my way, because I know that at the end of the day, I will be with you." Father, we long for that day. We long to be with you. We long to be reunited with you, to spend eternity with you, to be in your kingdom for eternity. And Father, while we live in the here and we look for the there, God, I pray that we also would recognize that other people are here and that we need to get them there as well. Father, give us the endurance to work hard for you. Give us the endurance to love you more every day. Give us the endurance to prevail so that we can win with you in the end. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.